They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Ascensus, helping people dream bigger, aim higher, and save more with financial confidence. Unleash the power of your retirement savings plan with innovative technology that makes things easy, top-notch service from experts who care, and flexible solutions that can grow with you. For more than 40 years, Ascensus has been helping savers achieve their goals. We can help you achieve yours, too. Learn more at Ascensus.com. That's ASCENSUS.com.
China's population has fallen for the first time in 60 years, and that has major economic implications. Live from the BBC World Service, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. Will Bain back with you today. That population data came hand in hand with news the country's economy grew at the second slowest rate in almost half a century. Our reporter Katie Silver breaks down the data for us.
Basically, GDP in 2022 grew at about 3%. Now, this is far below the 5.5% target that the CCP sets. And when we say it's the slowest rate in almost half a century, other than the start of the pandemic back in December 2020, basically, we haven't seen growth rates like this from China since the 1970s under Mao Zedong. So that is a long, long time. And what it does show is the impact of COVID. Zero COVID was, of course, in force until they lifted it there in December. And that really hit economic activity. I mean, we've spoken time and time again on this program in terms of factory closures. So what this is showing is the impact this is having. And of course, this recent rise in cases, many are saying that's not a good sign for China's future economic growth. And the other impact too, of course, has been the property rout, which has been going on for a number of years there.
All of that against the backdrop of another extraordinary statistic today, Katie, which was a sort of shock in the scale of it, fall in China's birth rate as well.
So what we found today was that China's population fell for the first time in more than 60 years. From the end of 2021 to the end of 2022, we saw 850,000 fewer people living in China. Many are saying this is ushering in an era of negative population growth and that this isn't just a short-term blip, but it's a trend that's likely to continue. And what this boils down to is the structural issues that China has as a result of 35 years of the one-child policies. The reason this is problematic is because if you don't have a good birth rate, if you don't have a growing labor force, you don't have workers in order to make the goods and services required to fund the lifestyles of a growing elderly population.
As always with Chinese data, absolutely fascinating stuff. The BBC's business correspondent, Katie Silver, thanks so much for breaking all the numbers down for us.
Thanks, Will.
Well, let's see how the markets in Asia reacted to that news. Shares in Hong Kong and Shanghai did slip a little, but only in the 0.2% to 0.7% range. In Japan, the Nikkei closed up just over a percent ahead of its central bank's latest interest rate decision Wednesday. One we'll be watching here with you on MMR tomorrow. Since Russia invaded Ukraine, Western nations have looked for ways to try and hurt the Kremlin in its pockets. A key plank of that has been various sanctions on Russian oil exports. But one country's thirst for Russian oil has, according to many analysts, been undercutting those efforts. Today, we have some numbers to add to those theories. And India is guzzling Russian oil at a record rate, as the BBC's Archana Shukla in Mumbai explains.
Russia is quickly rising up the ladder to be one of the preferred trade partners for India. Considering it imports about 85% of its oil needs, India needed discounted oil when oil prices were going up. And India has defended its move amongst meetings with the Western countries, saying that it's just plain economics. Oil imports into India from Russia has only gone up in the last months. In December, it crossed 1 million barrels a day, which was almost 33 times more than what they did a year ago. In fact, as of today, Russian oil accounts for about 25% of all the oil imports into India. And Russia has already surpassed Iraq and Saudi Arabia, who used to be the biggest suppliers.
That's the BBC's Archana Shukla with that one there. Well, the cost of a box of eggs has been rocketing around the world. In the US, the price of eggs has more than doubled since the start of 2021. So why is the cost staying so high when inflation in many countries seems to be easing? The BBC's Ruth Alexander explores the challenges egg producers are facing, including the ever-present threat of avian flu.
This is the sound of Amanda Mdudana's chickens in their coop in Mpumalanga province, eastern South Africa. What's it like being a poultry farmer at the moment in South Africa?
It's the toughest thing ever, mainly because 80% of input costs for poultry farming is the feed that you give to your chickens. So because of how much feed has gone up, it has really affected us terribly.
A war between two of the world's biggest grain producers, Russia and Ukraine, has hit production and been a big factor in the price rises. About 18 months ago, Amanda was paying 330 rands, or about $20 US, for a 50-kilogram bag of feed. Now she pays 440 rand, $25. In other words, a quarter more.
And another thing that has gone up is gas, diesel and petrol.
It's a tough situation, but at least Amanda's birds haven't been hit by avian influenza or bird flu. Philip Crawley, managing director of Sunrise Poultry Farms in Leicestershire, England, isn't as fortunate. He was devastated when the business was hit by an outbreak in late 2021.
It's the most horrible, hateful disease I've ever seen in my life. Any bird that survives has to be euthanized because it's a risk.
So all your birds were culled?
Those that survived were culled, yes, they were.
The outbreak was a major blow for Philip, but there is some hope for the future. Professor Munir Iqbal, the head of the Avian Influenza Virus Group at the UK's Pirbright Institute, says that a vaccine is being developed which could both protect each bird and make them much less likely to pass the disease on to unvaccinated poultry.
For the laboratory trial, the vaccine works excellent. The next process is the commercial vaccine company will take up and then it will produce in large scale to supply to the field.
Do you expect that farmers would take up this vaccine en masse?
Absolutely, yes.
There may also be the possibility of genetically engineered chickens to become resistant to avian flu. And for farmers like Philip Crawley and Amanda Mdodana, these scientific advances can't come soon enough. I'm the BBC's Ruth Alexander for Marketplace.
Quick nod to our podcast. Remember, if you miss any of our shows, do download it. Just search for the Marketplace Morning Report wherever you get yours from. I'm sure you're subscribed already. Thanks so much for listening to the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.